Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. In the Bhagavad Gita 6.41, it is stated that even a person who has failed in the proper discharge of yoga practice is given a chance to take birth in the house of devout brahmanas or in the houses of rich men like kshatriya kings or rich merchants. But Maharaj Parikshit was more than that because he had been a great devotee of the Lord since his previous birth, and as such he took his birth in an imperial family of the Kurus and especially that of the Pandavas. So from the very beginning of his childhood, he had the chance to know intimately the devotional service of Lord Krishna in his own family. The Pandavas, all being devotees of the Lord, certainly venerated family deities in the royal palace for worship. Children who appear in such families fortunately generally imitate such worship of the deities even in the way of childhood play. By the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, we had the chance of being born in a Vaishnava family, and in our childhood we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions such as Ratha Yatra and Dola Yatra ceremonies, and he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspirations from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhaktivinod. That is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhan Hill. The life history of many such devotees is almost the same because there is always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. According to Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna at Vrindavan, for he used to imitate the pastimes of his young playmates. According to Sridhar Swami, Maharaj Parikshit used to imitate the worship of the family deity by elder members. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also confirms the viewpoint of Jiva Goswami. So accepting either of them, Maharaj Parikshit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. He might have imitated either of the above-mentioned activities, and all of them establish his great devotion from his very childhood, a symptom of a Mahabhagavat. Such Mahabhagavats are called Nitya Siddhas, or souls liberated from birth. But there are also others who may not be liberated from birth, but who develop a tendency for devotional service by association, and they are called sadhana siddhas. There is no difference between the two in the ultimate issue, and so the conclusion is that everyone can become a sadhana siddha, a devotee of the Lord, simply by association with pure devotees. The concrete example is our great spiritual master, Sri Narad Muni. In his previous life, he was simply a boy of a maidservant, but through association with great devotees, he became a devotee of the Lord of his own standard, unique in the history of devotional service. Savai Bhagavato Raja Pandaveyo Maharataha Bala Kridan Kai Kridan Krishna Kridam Yaadade. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. I'd like to thank the temple authorities for the opportunity to speak today. And I'll try and say something that's relevant and enlivening. And I was just told before I sat down that because we have so many people from the Be a Monk Challenge, I should try and say something that's going to resonate with them as well as devotees who have been here for decades, because some of you have. So I'll try my best. But I feel enlivened after that ecstatic kirtan. Jai Krishna Prabhu, he never fails to deliver. Thank you very much. I think it's old school kirtan. Anyway, let's begin with a look at the word Pandaveya. So it's interesting how the Sanskrit language works. We have Pandu, the sons of Pandu, Pandava. And then the grandsons or great-grandsons, Pandaveya. This is how you manipulate the Sanskrit language. You can get different words. From Drupad, we get Draupadi. And then the son of Draupadi is Draupadeya. So you can do these things. Just in case you wondered where that word came from, Pandaveya. So this purport is very much about the important anga or branch of devotional service known as deity worship, right? And it's said that fortunate people, they get the opportunity to witness deity worship from birth. And Srila Prabhupada gives himself as an example, and he gives his own spiritual master as an example. So it said, Suchinam Srimatam Gehi Yoga Brashto Bajayati. The fallen yogi, one who doesn't complete the past, Yoga Brashta, takes birth Suchinam in pious family, because Suchi means pure, means generally Brahminical, and Srimatam, Srimat means, Shri means opulence in this example, opulent family. So here's a question to you all. Opulence is a distraction. So why is it considered an advantage to be born in a family of opulence? Anyone like to offer an explanation? So many of you, you all seem to have an answer. Yes.
Well, if you're comfortable, then you don't have to worry about working 12 hours a day.
If you're comfortable, you don't have to worry about working 12 hours a day just to maintain yourself. If you're, like Prabhupada says, if somebody's hungry, they can't think about Krishna. If they're set up materially, then they're more peaceful.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have a similar, different answer? Or is it similar answer? Could be about 4 hands went up. Everyone agreed on that? Yeah, that's the answer that's given. It's said to be too much poverty is an obstacle, because you're too busy trying to make ends meet. You can't think about higher things. One time the Buddha, he fed some people. And then he gave them a discourse. And some of his disciples asked him, why? Why did you not just do your discourse? And he said, because they were hungry. All they're going to think of is food. You know, satisfy that urge first, then they can think of self-realization. So we want the, you know, balance in life. Actually, the Buddha himself, he followed the path of the middle path. Not too much austerity and not so much enjoyment, just something enough to maintain your body, right? So if you are in a house where all the bills are paid for, you don't have to work, then you can dedicate yourself to self-realization. And also, to be born in that family, you're already sober enough that you won't be distracted by wealth. Therefore, you're qualified to be in that situation. Janmaishvarya Shrita Shribir Edamana Madam Bhupuman Naiva Hart Jabidatam Vai Tvama Kinchana Gochara. The opposite instruction is from Queen Kunti, that those who are bewildered by good birth, janma, aishvarya, opulence, shruti, learning, shri, beauty, then for them, they cannot engage in devotional service because they get intoxicated. If you're intoxicated by these things, then you will never be able to take shelter of Krishna. So those who are born in that situation, but who do not become bewildered, they are sober, they already have the qualification, therefore it's very appropriate that Krishna should arrange for them to be born in a situation where they don't have to worry about how to earn a living. They can just simply engage in devotional service. So yes, that's the answer. And the Bhagavad Gita says, Atava yoginam eva, kuli bhavata bhavati dimatam, yes. What's the next line? Loki. Eta didulabhataram loki janma yididrisham. Or if after unsuccessful, after a long time in devotional practice, then they get born in an even higher situation, which is yoginam and dimatam. Dimatam means truly intelligent. What type of intelligence are we talking about here? We're talking about devotional intelligence, because that's the only real type of intelligence. Yeah? Like, so who is Sumedha Saha? Those that engage in Sankirtan, right? The 11th canto. Yeah. Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. Real intelligence means engage in the Yuga Dharma. So if you're very fortunate, then you can be born in the family of transcendentalists, and that is considered even higher. So Srila Prabhupada is one example. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is one example. And actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, he refers to this, and he says, we were brought together by the order of the transcendental system. What does that mean? It's an interesting phrase. What do you think it means when Prabhupada says that he was brought into the association of his guru by the order of the transcendental system? Who's making the order? Whose order is it? Krishna's order, okay. Krishna's order, what is the transcendental system? Parampara, by the order of the transcendental system.
When Krishna desires something, when he says, or like Lord Chaitanya says, like, the holy name will be spread all over the world, then that desire has to be fulfilled because he said it. Simply when he wants that to happen, then Srila Prabhupada has to come down.
Okay.
In that specific moment also. Fantastic. To allow that to happen.
I'm just seeing what different... I was puzzled, genuinely puzzled when I read it, and I was wondering what people would say. So that's an interesting angle. I like that one. It had to happen. It was part of the spreading of Krishna conscious movement. Parojana Prabhu's got something to say, I think.
It means to take a part in the Gurum Parampara system would be another step.
So we could say it was the order of the previous Acharyas that they should be brought together. That's another angle to look at it. Yes.
Just one thought came regarding this, just like when Krishna is his pastime, Yoga Maya arranges the different pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So in the same way, when there's Nitya Siddhas like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Bhakti, they're pre-arranged by the arrangements of Yoga Maya, because nothing happens by chance. It's all, arranged by the Yoga Maya.
That's another angle. We were focusing more on Krishna and the parampara, but another angle is just why not just back to yourself, right? Yoga Maya, the internal potency, arranges everything in such a way. And that is also the transcendental system. Yes, I like that answer. Thank you. So, now here's a question. So, Parikshit Maharaj, he is one of the examples of someone who's very fortunate because he got to witness deity worship. And I mentioned Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Now, in scriptures, there's another great personality who's described as being in the same category. From their very birth, they were playing with dolls of Krishna. Can anyone think of? Uddhava, yes, exactly. Uddhava is another example. From his birth, he was attached to deity worship. Of course, doing it with dolls is a very nice way to do it. Generally, children are not as pure and clean when it comes to their habits. So if you give them Krishna dolls, the standard isn't quite the same, you know. Anyway, so deity worship is one of the most potent angas. There are 64 angas, and Mahaprabhu, he says, Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravana, Mathura Vasa, Sri Murtira, Shradaya Sivana. These five are very special. So the first one is Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees. Then Nama Kirtan, chanting the holy names. Bhagavat Shravana, which is what we're trying to do right now. Listening from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mathura Vasa, which means residing in Mathura district. Sometimes people think, why not Vrindavan Vasa? why Mathura? But Mathura is the district which includes Vrindavan. That explains that little apparent anomaly, which isn't really one. And then the last one, Sri Murtira Sradaya Sevana. So Sevana means service, Sradaya with faith, and Sri Murtira means the form of the Lord. So this is a very important Anga. As I say, it's one of the five most important ones. It said, Bhajanera Maji Sreshta Navavida Bhakti, Krishna Prema Krishna Diti Dori Mahashakti. The nine processes of devotional service, they have great potency to deliver Krishna and Krishna Prema. You see, Krishna Prema Krishna Diti Dori Mahashakti. Mahashakti means great potency. So when we worship the deities, we're heading towards Krishna, Krishna Prema very quickly. So I had the good fortune to recently resume my training as a pujari, because I did a few sessions about 20 years ago and I didn't go any further. And it's very ecstatic service. So I was doing the main service as backup service. So what goes on while everyone's chanting their japa? Yeah. Those that have done this service know what's going on. But for those that haven't, I'll tell you some of the things that goes on. So when the curtains close, they take off all the water cups from the altar, and then the pujaris, they say prayers before the deities, and then they start to change the dress. And then there's one person who's on backup service, so that's what I was doing. So backup service means you go to the different cupboards and different rooms and you get the deity, the new outfits, and you take back the old ones, and you climb up a ladder at the back and you put the backdrop in, and you're washing the cloths that are used to bathe the deities, etc., etc. So it's a very nice service, and it's if we're going to talk about types of worship, what is the highest type of worship? Now, deity worship is very potent, but there's a type of worship that's even higher than deity worship. Anyone know? Yeah, Vishnu Aradhanam. So this is from the Padma Purana, right? Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So it's not Vishnurad, it is Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So there's word Tadiya, it means things in connection with Krishna. So you worship Krishna, that's very nice, very potent. But then if you worship things in connection with Krishna, that's considered even higher. And why is it higher? Well, to give an example, suppose, you know, you have a child. Now, if someone serves you, that's very nice. But if someone serves your child, that's even nicer, because that child is very dear to you. So Krishna says, or Prabhupada used to say, love me, love my dog, right? So Prabhupada called himself, I am Krishna's dog. That's what he said. So what does that mean? That means if we please Prabhupada, then we please Krishna's dog. So Krishna's very happy by that, even more so than we try and please Krishna directly. But what's very wonderful is, if we're engaged in deity service, then actually, Tadiyanam Samarchanam, this worship of the devotees, is also part of that. It's service to the devotees. Because when the devotees are arranging the necklaces and the dress and the backdrop and everything, part of their meditation is, I want this to be very beautiful so that when the curtains open, all the devotees get to take darshan and they feel very enlivened. So it's Tadiya Archana as well. It's not just Vigraha Archana, it's Tadiya as well. So it's all connected. And if we cook for Krishna, also the devotees get satisfaction, therefore it's the worship of the devotees as well. So the way for harmonious society is we all have this attitude that is the highest type of worship. Now in the Adi Purana, Krishna says, where did they go? Yemi Bhakta Jana Parta, Nami Bhakta Te janaha, mad bhaktanam chate bhaktas te me bhaktatama mataha. Those who say they are my devotee are not my devotee, but those who say they are the devotee of my devotee, they are my real devotee. So we want to be real devotees of Krishna. Therefore, we have to stop this mentality of, I have a direct relationship with Krishna and I'm not very interested in devotees. This is the Kanishtha Adhikari, the bottom platform. But when we progress, then we become devotees of the devotees. And there's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given a nice description of what are the qualities of a Madhyama Adhikari. That's the devotee on the middle platform. And his attitude towards the devotees is very wonderful. It's described as Tirtha Buddhi, which means he considers the devotees to be pilgrimage, places of pilgrimage. To visit a devotee is like visiting a holy dham. That's the consciousness of the Majjhimadhikari, Tirtha Buddhi. Mamata Buddhi, they have feelings of intense possessiveness towards the devotees. I love the devotees, they are mine, they're my devotees. He's thinking this way. Of course, they're Krishna's devotees, but they are mine. I love these people. My friend, they're my friends. Mamata Buddhi, Tirtha Buddhi, Ijja Buddhi, they're worshipable. And there's one other one, I can't remember what it is now. Mama Buddhi, Tirtha Buddhi. Anyway, this is. But when you think of these qualities, they are so high that anyone who thinks they're advancing in devotional service, well, there's a reality check. Do you actually worship other devotees? Do you actually see them as places of pilgrimage? Is that your consciousness? Or you just see them as friends, people you can talk with, but they're not that special, you see? So this is an indication to us how our mood should progress. And if we have that mood, it's just a wonderful mood. And my observation, Prabhupada loved his disciples so much. And he was always glorifying them. And even though they made mistakes, he chastised them, but he was so happy to glorify them. And when he was with his godbrothers, he would glorify them and he would get them to read and they would speak in broken Sanskrit, and he loved them so much. Therefore, when you see devotees, some devotees, they can be very critical and they can criticize ISKCON members. They may even be members themselves, but they're very critical and they're saying, that's not the way Prabhupada did it. And they think in their mind, I know what Prabhupada is, and I have a good connection with Prabhupada, but everyone else, they don't understand Prabhupada, the society doesn't understand, the management don't understand, and these devotees are not in their mind, they're not doing the things the way Prabhupada wanted. They have this mood. Problem is, they are having a negative attitude to the same people that Prabhupada loved. So there's a problem there, you see. So how can you say that your mood is the same as Prabhupada? If you have the same mood as Prabhupada, then you should love all the devotees, right? In spite of their faults. And there may be faults. There may be genuine faults. I'm not saying that that critical mood is not, in some sense, justified. But you have to love at the same time. So criticism and love have to go hand in hand. And if they're not going hand in hand, then you shouldn't hear from such people, because it's an indication that there's some envy in the heart. There's some disturbance there, you see. So there's a wonderful verse from the Padma Purana that describes atheistic consciousness. Now, once when I was looking at this sloka, it was quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he said this is how you measure if someone's an atheist or not. It's like the psychology of an atheist. So the verse is, Archi Vishnu Shiladi Guru Shumarati Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi Vishnor Vaishnavanam Kala Mala Matani Paratir Temba Buddhi Shri Vishnor Namni Mantri Sakala Kalushahi Shabda Samanya Buddhi Vishnu Saveshvareshi Taditarata Samadhi Yasyava Naraki Saha. So what it means is, who is a resident of hell? The word for a resident of hell is Naraki. Yasyava Naraki Saha means who is hellish consciousness? And there's six categories. First one, Archi Vishnu Shiladi. Shiladi means to see it as stone consciousness. If you see the deity as a piece of stone, then that is so unfortunate. It is so unfortunate. Of course, there are practitioners of other traditions who will see our deities as bits of stone, and they think it's idolatry. Most of the Judeo-Christian religion, if you look at the followers, then most of them, they will think this way. There may be some more broad-minded ones that are able to accommodate other conceptions, but I've not yet to meet them. You go in the street, that's one of the sticking points. If you go and distribute Prabhupada's books, one of the main criticisms, people will say, oh, you have false idols, you're worshipping idols. You know, not only one, you have many idols. You are polytheists, and you have many idols. This is not the proper conception, right? Because in their consciousness, they cannot accommodate the deity form. But actually, what's really happened is the pure devotee sees Krishna, Premanjana Charita, Bhakti Vilochanena, Santasadaiva Rida Yeshu Vilokyanti, Yamsham Asundaram Achincha Ganasvarupam, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. When we have, our eyes are anointed with the salve of love of God, then we can actually see Krishna in our hearts. And we can see Krishna directly, everywhere. Such a person is qualified to fashion a deity. And the deities that we worship, they are all created according to the actual vision of those pure devotees. Therefore, that is not a concoction. See, we also are not idol worshippers. We reject that as well. We see it's a concoction. So our acharyas, they counteract some of this Judeo-Christian thinking. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And they make the point, if your consciousness is impure, then whatever concept you have of God, it will be a product of your impure consciousness. Therefore, you may mentally concoct some notion of God. So God is some infinity. When we can't actually properly conceive of God, even if you don't consider the personal aspect, if you just consider the impersonal aspect, infinite white light or whatever, you try and make a visual representation of that. We've never actually experienced infinite light, so we just experience a bright light, bright enough that you have to close your eyes. The sun's probably the brightest thing we've ever experienced. So whatever we imagine, that isn't actually the real brightness of the Lord. Or whatever, what does infinite expanse mean? We never witnessed infinity. We can look into the horizon on a clear day, and that's about as far as it goes. So whatever we conceptualize, that itself is with our impure intelligence. Therefore, that is an idol, you see. So that's how the Aracharyas, they counteract. They say, you are idol worshippers. Because you have no deity to worship, you create your own concept of God. But that concept is impure. Therefore, that's an idol as well. That's a concoction, you see. So the way around it, to go beyond, and to get to the point where we can actually see the deities and actually see Krishna, we have to engage in deity worship. Because these forms are empowered. They're meant to bring our vision up to the platform. See, we can't see Krishna because we're not the seers. Now, back to Siddhanta Saraswati talked about this concept a lot. It's called Drig Drishya Vichar. The idea is we are not the seer. The seer is Drashta. The seen, the object of vision, is Drishya. We are all Drishya. So Prabhupada said, don't try and see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. If we act in such a way that Krishna wants to see us, then, was it Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu? He will give us divine eyes. We want to see Krishna, we need divine eyes. He has to empower us to see him. And in order to do that, Sevan Mukhi Hijiva Dao Swayam Eva Sparachidao, we have to have the service attitude. If we approach the deities with the service attitude, then by their mercy, we'll actually see them. And we'll see the Satchidananda form when the curtains open, you see. So some people, they think, I don't want to go to Mangalarti today because, you know, I can see the deities online. I don't feel like getting up because I'm tired or something. So they're thinking of deity worship as, it's about what I want. But that's actually not what deity worship is about. We're supposed to actually attend so they can see us. It's like when you go to school, you know, you turn up at school and then the teacher takes the register. So what happens here, if you're living here, there's someone goes round with an attendance card and they tick a box. And there's Ananta Gopal here, yes, he's here. Is back to Ian, he's here, and they tick a box. Why are we doing this? Well, of course, the reason we tick a box is because we have a tendency not to want to come, right, because it's early in the morning, right? But we have to come to the platform where it's about Ruchi. We come because we want to come. But anyway, but there's a platform where even if we don't want to come, we still come. Why? Because it's like we're here to come before Krishna, so Krishna can see that we're here. We're coming so that Krishna, when the curtain's open, Krishna wants to see us here. So even if we don't want to come to Mangalarti, we should come anyways because Krishna wants us to come. And if we think the other way around, then what we're doing is we're confusing devotional service for sense gratification. But it's a nice type of sense gratification. It's kind of, I want to see Krishna, that's sense gratification. I want to see the deities, that's sense gratification, because they're very beautiful. But it's, they want to see us. We're doing it, even if we don't want to see them. So even a blind person should come to Mangalarti, because Krishna will see them, you see. That is the highest type of devotional service. Everything is just for Krishna's pleasure. So Archivishnu Shiladi, I was given the six categories of atheism. Archie Vishnu Shiladi means to see the deity as a piece of stone. Gurushu Naramati means to see the guru as an ordinary person. So Prabhupada gives a nice example. When you have a coconut, sometimes the inside, the coconut, separates from the husk, so it rattles. Okay, so a pure devotee is like that. Pure devotee may be inside a material body, but they are free from that material connection. In fact, their body is spiritualized. So although they may appear to be similar to us, they eat, we eat. They go to the toilet, we go to the toilet. So we may think they're the same as us. But actually, that's a big mistake, because the advanced devotees are on a completely transcendental platform. And therefore, to see them as ordinary, Naramati means to see them like just ordinary man, that is a miscalculation. So that's a sure way to not advance in spiritual life, to see the advanced devotees as ordinary human beings. And then you end up criticizing them, you see. And then Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi means to judge a Vaishnava according to their caste. So I like to give an example. I have a friend, I love this devotee, he's Gargamuni. You know Gargamuni? He's like, he can't say no to service. So he's working on, he cuts down the trees, he sands the benches and varnishes them. So I used to drive him back and forth from the temple. I used to take him to Mangalarti, and he's an insomniac, he can't sleep, but he wouldn't say no. So every time I say, do you want to come to Mangalarti, he'd say yes, and he wouldn't sleep at night, but he'd come anyway because he just had to come. He's got this service attitude. He used to do Food for All, and Parashram used to give him the keys and go off to India, and he'd just have to run the whole Food for All program. So he's a very good servant. So he tells me, he goes, you know, he left school without any qualifications. He was telling me he's working class. But one day he said to me, but you know, I'm not just working class. There's different grades of working class. I'm the lower working class. He goes, amongst when I went to school, you know, there were people that were like middle working class, but I was like the lower working class. So I was the lowest of the low. Now, if you have hellish consciousness, you will judge him by that. But if you have transcendental consciousness, you'll see his wonderful service. He's got such a wonderful service attitude. And it doesn't matter that he can't quote slokas. You see, you have to see the devotion, the dedication, and he's got heaps of it. So he's really good. He comes here and he's always working very hard, you see. So that's Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi. We shouldn't judge the Vaishnava according to their jati. Jati means their caste, you see. And if you look at Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he teaches this so many times. Haridas Thakur is an example. He's born in the Malecha family, but he's the Harinamacharya, you see. Rupan Sanatana Goswami, they were ostracized by the Brahminical community because they were working for the Nawab Hussein Shah. But Lord Chaitanya, he was associating with all these people. And these people, they were outcasts from orthodox Hinduism, you see. So this is Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi. And then Vishnor Vaishnavam Kala Malamatane Padatir Tembu Buddhi. Ambu means water. Ambu Buddhi means water consciousness. If you see the water that has washed the feet of Krishna, Vishnor, Va Vaishnavanam, or the water that has washed the feet of the Vaishnavs, if you see that as simply water, you're in hell. Your consciousness is all rough. You don't realize this is special. Tina Mahabal, the food remnants and the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavs and the water that has washed their feet, that is Mahabal. It means it has very great potency in awakening devotional service. And then Shri Vishnor Namni Mantri Sakala Kalushahi Shabda Samanya Buddhi. To see the names of Vishnu and the mantras in the scripture as simply Shabda. Shabda means sound. It's not just sound. Neelamani Devadashi gave a wonderful class yesterday, and she was explaining that when the devotees, they speak Krishna Gita, they speak the scriptures, then the dust, saffron dust particles of Krishna's feet are carried by that sound vibration. That means it's not sound, it's some spiritual power, spiritual potency. That's how we became devotees. We heard, we didn't even realize it, but we heard something and it touched our hearts and some transformation took place. There's something very sublime about the names of Vishnu and the mantras in the scriptures. So if you see it as ordinary sound, you are a resident of hell. And then Vishnu Sarveshvareshi Tad Itara Samadhi. So Sama means, what does Sama mean? Equal, right? If you see then Vishnu and the demigods as equal, then you're a resident of hell as well. You don't understand. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam means Krishna is the source of all creation. He is the Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, you see. So we have to be careful if we have any of those six defects. And we can have them very much so. In our interaction with devotees, we can start to see them as ordinary people. Or we may one day we walk into the temple room and we just see bits of stone instead of seeing the deities. We should always have a mood of awe and reverence. You know, when we come into the temple room, we knock and we come where we realize we're coming before the Lord. That is good consciousness. And if we start to slack it in our service, we start to think, oh, they're statues. One day we're looking at them, we're thinking, this is a statue. This is a statue. And our own ego has spoiled the whole process. Anyway, I've spoken enough here, so thank you for your patience, and I hope I said something useful. And please, if someone would like to make some comments or questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. Just a bit of a side point. I was just wondering, you know, because you mentioned that hellish consciousness, we should never judge a person on their background.
Yes.
Do you know, I'm not sure if there's an explanation given on this. Maybe there is, but when Lord Nityananda went to, marry the Vasudha and Mataji and...
Janava, yeah.
Yeah, and their father, he recognized Lord Nityananda, right, as a divine personality, as, you know, supreme person of Godhead, and yet at the same time was reluctant to give his daughters in marriage because he was of a lower Brahmin caste, not even like a Sudra, but like a Brahmana, but a lower Brahmin than he was, if I'm... So yeah. I was like, I don't know, like, do you know there's like why he did, like, and he's obviously must have been a great Vaishnava of himself.
Yeah.
To make that distinction.
Yes. Thank you for that. It's an interesting point. And I don't actually have any factual thing I can say in relation to that. But what I will say is there's, what is the pastime is, in spite of being of a different category, still the marriage took place, right? So they broke that rule, right? The marriage is breaking the rule. So maybe we can look at it as a lila. Maybe it's like we want to teach that it should be placed purely on qualification. Therefore, this pastime takes place in order that we can see that the rule was broken. You know, maybe that's how I would look at it. Does anyone have any information on that one? I mean, it's going. There's also joking going on in the Lord Chaitanya's pastimes.
I was just thinking on that, like if you look in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then sometimes Mahaprabhu is like upholding the social order, and then at other times he's challenging it on the basis of bhakti. So actually both are important to recognize that there is this kind of social hierarchy in the world based on somewhat external considerations, but which are still useful for the ongoing kind of upkeep of society, but then there are also pastimes which then challenge it and show that, well, it goes beyond that. So you'll find that often there is consideration of externals, but then there's also a revelation of the higher essence behind it as well.
Thank you. Yes, that's a good answer. These rules are there for a purpose. Like we have a whole Varnashram system, for example, and it's there for a purpose. Back to Ian.
Thanks so much for your class. I have two small questions. The first one is, some of us maybe are coming from a place where, you know, because you're mentioning the type of people who might not be able to connect with the deities in a much more clear way. So maybe some of us are coming from a space where, you know, deity worship is seen as a completely foreign concept. So maybe for some of us, what would your advice be on how we can strive to cultivate a relationship with the deities? And the other question is if maybe we're not in a space where we can regularly be visiting a temple, then what can we, and are not having the qualification to perform deity worship ourselves, what are some of the things we can do in our own spaces to kind of still develop that connection, even though not being physically present?
Thank you. Well, I would say just speaking from experience, if you want to cultivate a relationship with the deities, you can start to serve them by, say, for example, bringing some flowers. You go shopping, you buy some flowers and you bring them to the deity department. You start engaging in this, and it's real. I'm going to call it a game, but it's not a game. It's kind of like you're starting to act in, you're acting in a way as if you have a loving relationship with a person, even though you maybe not feel it. But just by doing that, then it comes about. That's the whole thing. If you look at deity worship, it's not like you have love of God at the beginning. So you start washing the deities and you're putting on outfits, etc., etc. All these activities, they bring about, the love comes from that activity. So what you're doing is you're acting as someone who loves the deities would act. And by doing that action, the consciousness comes afterwards. So in the example you're giving, if someone doesn't connect to that, just to bow down, you're already starting to develop a relationship with the deities. If you walk in the door and you knock and you bow down, you ring the bell, that's a relationship. When the curtains open and you say Jai, Shishirada Gokulandaki Jai, that's you're engaging in all these activities, recognizing them as actual living entities, not just like bits of stone, right? And that's how the love will develop. Now, if you don't have the opportunity to come to a temple, well, we can actually online, you can participate online for people that don't live near a temple. We also have the books are full of pictures of the deities. So if you just, you know, become absorbed in appreciating the beauty of a picture of Krishna, then that's going to develop that relationship as well. So even as you say, some people, I mean, for so many years, I was a combination of fear and just laziness. I just didn't want to have all this thing about having to be clean and having a shower, and you can't touch this, you can't eat, you can't do anything, and it's just a trip. Plus you feel, as you're going into the deity room, you feel like, oh, I shouldn't be here, my mind's a mess, and you start to feel a little bit, it's difficult, but it's kind of like it makes you focus more, and so then you kind of, it's a more intense type of service, so then you kind of feel blissed out afterwards kind of thing, you know. But yeah, that's what I would recommend. Pictures, online, and yeah, it will come. That development, that attachment will come. Very well. Prayojana Prabhu.
I personally have a difficulty in that, and I'd like to put it to the devotees, that because of my age, there are some people here who say, I shouldn't do that. You know, I'm trying to serve the devotees or something like that. You shouldn't be serving me because you're old. You know, because I should be serving you.
Mm.
But it's very negative because I just try and give them something and they say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You know, and actually they're denying my spontaneity. And I'll give you an example of that, Mother Kalangana. She was in her 70s. I saw her one day coming up with a field, and it was a path then from the Goshala, rough old path. She was pulling up a churn of milk. It was just before, day before Janmashtami. And I said, oh, Mother Kalangana, can I help you? I didn't really know her. She said, oh, no, you must chant your rounds. And then I understood that with my mother, I used to try and help her because she was old and arthritic. She said, don't do these things. Well, I must do them while I still can. You know?
Yes.
So otherwise you take away and she becomes an invalid, you know?
Yes.
Mother Kalangana, in this example, I remember, so I had to let her do her service for the devotees, because she says, the devotees must have their milk. It's Janmashtami tomorrow. They're fasting. So she was pulling up a churn, a heavy chair, up to the kitchen. and I couldn't deny her that service based on what my mother told me. That because she was, it was her service, a personal service, to help the devotees even though she was old. So I had to let it be.
Thank you.
And so that's a dilemma for me. And there's this artificial impression, because you're old, you shouldn't serve or do things or lift heavy things. But you deny that person's ability to still be an active person. So
everyone should remember, don't try and take away service from Priyoja.
You know, so if a person insists you shouldn't help me, then I have to obey them.
Yes, you know. Thank you.
You see.
Yes. Well, while you, just before you get the mic, I just remembered I was talking about four types of consciousness of the Majjhimadhikari. The other one was Atmabuddhi. They see the devotees as more dear than themselves. Carol.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking about what you said in terms of coming here and being in front of the deity, thinking about Krishna and being of service. Now, is thinking of Krishna... So kind of in my head, I've got a concept that Krishna's everywhere and here. You know, so am I only able to be with Krishna when I'm here and in front of the deity, or can I be with Krishna anywhere? You know, and so is that relationship more about the object external or the internal environment in me?
Yes.
Or is it both, or is it have I got a misconception? Can yourself or anyone?
No, this
help?
Is a very good. This is a very good question. Now, the way consciousness develops, at stage one, you see Krishna and in the deity, but you don't see Krishna elsewhere. That's the Kanishtha, the beginner. When you come to the Majjhimadhikari platform, you see Krishna, and you also see Krishna in the devotees. So your consciousness is you not only you see the deity, but you're also, when you see devotees, you're understanding that they are parts and parcels of Krishna. And when you come to the topmost platform, you see Krishna within everything, and everything within Krishna. That is the Uttama Adhikari. So that is there. So, for example, some people, they may walk out of the temple and think, Krishna's no longer there because I'm not in the temple, but that's not the right consciousness. That's not developed consciousness. More developed consciousness means to see Krishna everywhere. And there's one warning. You can prematurely think you're on that platform. And there's, for example, Prabhupada would criticize impersonalists who would not worship the deities because they say, well, Krishna's everywhere. Or God's everywhere. So, and then Prabhupada would respond, yes, so therefore he's also in the temple. Well, why aren't you coming? You know, he's making that point. So we can't prematurely be on that platform. But yes, that's what we're supposed to be aiming for. Krishna's everywhere.
So is it like in both places? You know, so when you're not in the temple, he's still with you. But when you come to the temple, he's also there.
Yes.
And for me personally, coming to the temple just reinforces that relationship so that when I'm away from the temple, I can still try to see him.
Yes, that's how we should be developing.
And can I ask one last question?
Yes, yes.
Yeah? So,
feel free.
So when you say you see, when you're on this higher platform, and you see Krishna, you know, what is it that you see? Are you seeing, like, am I seeing Ian as a, you know, dressed up in the garlands, or am I seeing Ian for Ian, but there's something else I'm seeing? Is it like...
Okay. Well, there's different ways to look at that. There's the verse, Stavara jangama deki na deki taram murti, Chaishtadeva spurti. Mahaprabhu says, see, if we come to the highest platform, then we see our beloved Krishna everywhere. But when Prabhupada talks about that verse, he says what that means is we see everything as the energy of Krishna, so we understand where everything's coming from. So that's one way we can look at it. But another way to look at it is you can actually, if you're on that platform, you can actually see Krishna everywhere. You can actually, for example, can we see the super soul within the heart? Well, if you're very advanced, you can see a Vishnu form within every person. You could probably see within every atom if you had that vision. So it can be both. You can actually see Krishna everywhere, or you can just connect everything to Krishna, and that's the same as seeing Krishna. But Prabhupada would sometimes say that if just like everything is the energy of Krishna, so if you connect everything to Krishna that way, then you're seeing Krishna everywhere. Thank you.
Temples are special places where all the time this devotional activities are going on. So, for example, Jagannath Puri Dham, and for example, this temple. Can I compare that to my, let's say, my flat, where I don't do any devotional activities? So can I say that Krishna is present everywhere, so I can stay at my home and don't go to the temple?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if the standard of worship, if your home has the same standards of cleanliness, the same sort of dedication, the same standard of worship, and the people living in your house have the same consciousness that people are engaged in temple worship, then yes, it's the same.
I was thinking all the time, like in temples, there is a more kind of energy or something is there which attracts you, which you feel good about.
Yeah, if temples have more energy, then it probably means there's either people, there's something going on more, the standard of service is probably higher, or the people there have got higher consciousness, and that's why you're experiencing a difference. In which case, you should make the journey to the temple and benefit from that higher energy. Okay, I've run over a little bit, so thank you for your patience. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Tagore Pramanandi, Haribol.